Welcome to Intentional with Dr. Faye. Intentional is the radio show dedicated to opening the gateways of knowledge into a deeper, more committed way of living your heaven on earth. You will learn how to build a relationship with God that will radically change the way you live your life forever. You will discover that you're not alone in this journey. You have access to eternal life now and all that it offers. Just listen as Dr. Faye shares the gospel to empower, motivate, inspire, and encourage you to live an intentional life.
Welcome again to another Intentional. I am thrilled that you've joined us for this special broadcast today. I want to continue a conversation that I started a few weeks ago, perhaps, and it's called the Emotion Report. We did some research, and in that research, we saw how millions and millions of people are depressed, and that America has been noted to be the most depressed country. You wouldn't think that on New Year's Eve, but that's what the polls have said. And highly rated surveys are reporting that you folks are angry and upset. And we want to talk about that at some point. Stop it. Stop it. Oh, stop it. Hello, and welcome again to the broadcast. I am so blessed to be able to be here today, and I want to open up with prayer because we want to continue a conversation that we started maybe a couple weeks ago now, I suppose. And we were talking about the Emotion Report and how Americans are now viewed as the most angry, depressed country. And we want to talk a little bit more about that and then maybe add some light as to why Americans are depressed and angry. And also, how can we overcome this? How can we get rid of that label as a nation, as a people? Let's pray. Father, in the name of Jesus, I thank you for this opportunity to speak a word into the lives of your people that are listening. I thank you for every person who's involved and making this possible for us to be here today. And most of all, I give you praise for my Savior, Jesus Christ, who died on the cross over 2,000 years ago and was resurrected and is alive today on the inside of me and every believer and those who will receive him as the Lord and Savior. We thank you, Father, that your hand will be upon me today. Speak through my mouth, think through my mind, and let it be none of me and all of you, Holy Spirit, because that's who we need to teach the church. Again, welcome. Thank you so much for being here for this particular service here. For those of you who are watching, listening on Sundays, you know that this is your church time, and we're here on AmericaOutloud.com every Sunday at 7 a.m., 11 a.m., and 7 p.m. And so we appreciate those of you who tune in and also sharing it across social media. So I want to ask you a question. How are you feeling? How are you feeling? How are you feeling in your body? How are you feeling in your soul? 3 John 2 says, "Beloved, I wish above all things that you prosper and be in health, even as your soul prospers." Beloved, I wish you would prosper. John is writing and he's saying, I want you to prosper. I want you to be in health, even as your soul prospers. And even though he was speaking to a specific person at the time, we can take that to be specifically for us because John was an apostle of love. He understood what it meant to be loved and to give love. So he was certainly divinely connected to the Lordship of Jesus Christ, and he could give that he possessed. And if you read 1 John, you'll see that he talks about the love of God, and he who walks in love cannot sin. He who walks in love is walking in the light. And it's such a powerful, powerful book, one of my favorites in the Bible. Yes, I have favorites. I'm sure you have favorite things too. I have favorite passages, favorite scriptures, and favorite books. But he's talking about the soul. And when we look at the soul, we're thinking about the mind, the will, the emotions, the intellect, and the desires. We're thinking about those things that give us the touchy-feely kind of feelings that we feel every day. It gives us our persona, personality, our ideas and ideology. It gives us that idea of believing that we belong, okay? That soul, the mind, the will, the emotions, the intellect, and the desires is all packaged there into this one place we call the soul. So he says, if your soul is prospering, then everything else will prosper. Why? Because we just mentioned in the soul is where our mind is. Mind is the will, the emotions, the intellect, and our desires. So in that space, in that place where our mind is, our will, our emotions, our intellect, and our desires, he said, those areas have got to prosper too. You can't work on your body and not work on your soul. Exactly. There is definitely a relationship between us working out and having a different mindset, because God knows it takes a type of a mindset, a focused mindset, a tenacious mindset in order to stay on the treadmill, in order to lift the weights, in order to do what we've got to do to keep our bodies strong. And how many of us want to do that? Every hand raised, right? So when we condition our minds, though, when we begin to work out our minds, the Bible says that bodily exercise profited little, but it didn't say it didn't profit at all. We take time for our bodies. We take time for our minds because we want to have a mind that's strong as well. We want to exercise our mind and give our mind the opportunity to be strong. And in an age where there is an epidemic, if you will, I don't know any other word, but it certainly is demonic influence of Alzheimer's and dementia. Yeah. And my daddy said they used to call it the old folks disease. That means you forget where your glasses are, but I know some younger people who do that and forget some other things. But in this age, in this day and time when there's such an epidemic of that, it is so important that we know how to condition our minds. We know how to exercise our minds and keep them strong. It is said that people who are avid readers or people who do crossword puzzles or people who can teach their brain how to be strong. There's a lot of teaching and a lot of videos now on social media where you can go and you can learn a lot of different things. You have to choose your teacher wisely, but you can learn a lot of things on how to physically get the work done. But I like to always begin with the Word of God, and I like to always end with the Word of God, because I know anything outside of that, unless it was extracted from Scripture, it is no good. It's temporary. It's a Band-Aid, right, on a wound that cannot really fix the issue. So what we do is that we spend time in the Word of God. Yes, yes, and yes. The Bible says that we have the mind of Christ. To me, that is huge. The mind of Christ. So I have the ability to access the same mind that was in Jesus, because he said, let this mind, you is the understood subject there, right? Yeah, you understand that. You being the understood subject, you let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. The opportunity to allow the mind of Christ to be in us as it is in Christ Jesus. How do we do that? We access the way that Jesus thinks, yes, and the way that he thought. The way that he thought is the way he still thinks. He didn't cease to be who he was then. He is in his true form now. He was in the body named Jesus, but his true form has always been and will always be the Christ that was inside of Jesus. In order to access that mind, we have to understand what his thought processes were. And how do we do that? That's right. We go to the book. We begin to open the Word of God and begin to read the Scriptures. We begin to follow the life of Jesus, even though he was walking under the law in Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. He was walking under the law. And that's the Old Testament, the Old Covenant, the 600 and plus thou shalt nots. You know, there were more than 10 commandments. There were 617 or something like that. I didn't count them. Some scholar counted them. But there were so many laws, and there are a lot of laws. All of the references say, yeah, It's about 617, I believe, of laws that were in the Old Testament. And when we look at that and say, no way could we ever live under that kind of taskmaster. Paul wrote to the church at Galatians, I believe, and he said the law was our schoolmaster to bring us into faith. Yes, he told the church at Galatia. The law was our schoolmaster to bring us in. It was our transportation. It was the way to Jesus. It showed us that we needed a Savior. It was the directive. It was the GPS. It was the channel that we needed to go through in order to get to where we needed to go, because there's no way faith could have lived under 600 plus laws. So Jesus came to fulfill the law, and he fulfilled it in one thing, love. Yeah. He came to fulfill. He said, I didn't come to do away with the law, but to fulfill it in love. So when we grow up in him and have his mindset, the first thing we'll learn is that God is love, that he is love, and that there's no time in our lives where he is not love. Now, this is going to hit some of you kind of hard and heavy, like, yeah, because you think you have a right to be angry and hurt and bitter and, you know, all of those negative parts of your soul. You think you can use your emotions in that way, and then it brings about something good. It won't, because whatsoever you sow, you reap. But where do you first reap it? You reap it internally. Yes, you reap it internally. So if you're speaking evil, then you are reaping evil back, because you can't give away what you don't possess. If you're speaking negativity over someone else's life, then you are actually speaking it over your own life. Yeah? Jesus told the disciples, he said, how can you love me, your father whom you've not seen, God whom you've not seen, and hate your brother that you see every day, the one that you see on the news, the one that you see in social media? Let's bring it to where people live today. You don't hardly see your neighbor in the house next door on your neighborhood. You probably don't even know who your neighbor is next door. Never met them, never shook their hand. I lived in places for years and I didn't know people, didn't know who lived next door, because everybody stayed so close to themselves. So how can you say you love somebody that you do see every day? Some of your neighbors now are in social media. Some of your neighbors are on Facebook now. Some of your neighbors they're on the front pages of the newspaper, if they're still tangible, I mean, physical papers, right? But there are neighbors. And so when you despise them, you are also despising yourself. I know that's hard and heavy for you to hear that, but somebody's got to say these things. Yeah, you despise the president, you're despising yourself. You're despising Democrats, you're despising yourself. You're despising Republicans, you're despising yourself. You're sending out venom through texting and through Facebooking and social media, and you're posting the nasty stuff, yeah, across Twitter, and then you're wondering why your world is so squirrely, webby things. You're on the worldwide webby, and you're getting all wound up in the webs and the things that are causing chaos and confusion in your own life, because you're speaking evil out of your mouth. You're saying things that you should not be saying, ladies and gentlemen. Check yourself before you wreck yourself. I don't know where I got that, but somewhere along the way, you know how it happens. Check yourself before you wreck yourself. You don't want to give that negative out there. You don't want to be a vessel of dishonor by speaking words that are not bringing healing, that are not bringing peace, that are not bringing joy. Oh, Dr. Fain, you're too airy-fairy. You're too fluffy. Oh, well, whatever. Leave me in the fluff, because it feels good to be clean. It feels good to be full of joy. It feels good to have peace that passes understanding, because this is God's way. This is the mind of Christ. Yes, yes, Jesus went through things as a man. Yes, he did. He was God, but he was clothed in a human form. He was God incarnate. And the Bible says, though he were a son, yet learned he obedience by the things which he suffered, which means he graduated in that stuff. He graduated from the pain. He graduated from all of the things that hit him as a human being. He graduated. He came to the place that he had victory over everything. In Matthew, the 4th chapter, when the tempter came to him after he had fasted 40 days and 40 nights in the wilderness, and the tempter came, the devil came to him and said, if you be the Son of God, turn these stones into bread. And Jesus retorted, the word spoke, and said, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God. That was in him. So it came out of him. Whatever was in came out. And then the devil took him, the Bible says, into a pinnacle of the temple. And he told him, he said, all of these things will I give. He took him to the pinnacle of the temple and he told him, an exceeding high mountain. I don't want to go there and read now because we're going to read some other things. But in Matthew 4, and he took him to an exceeding high mountain and he told him to go and jump down. He said, because the angels will have charge over you. And Jesus said, no. Thou shalt not tempt the Lord thy God. And then he took him to the pinnacle of the temple and he showed him all the kingdoms of this world. And he said, all these will I give you if you bow down and worship me. And he said, no, thou shalt worship the Lord thy God and him only shall thou. And so Jesus spoke what was inside of him. Yes, he spoke the word. And the Bible says, and Satan left him for a season. He went away. The devil had to leave. Why? Because Jesus did not come into agreement with Satan. Many of us come into agreement with Satan and we wonder what's going on in our lives and why our lives are so full of havoc and feels like a shipwreck waiting to happen most of the time. We live from a place of fear rather than a place of faith. We're afraid of doctor's reports. We're afraid of the mortgage company. We're afraid. We're just fear. Because we have not feasted on the word of God. Romans 10 and 17 says that faith comes by hearing and hearing by the word of God. So since faith comes by hearing and hearing by the word of God, how do we begin to shift from our old carnal way of being, our old fleshly way of thinking, into his way of thinking and his way of being, God's way? That is, we hear the word of God. You hear it here, right? And you read it. And the more you read it, it starts feeding you. It starts manifesting in your life. And if you are not a Bible reader, I encourage you to get the book. You can download the app, Bible Gateway, Bible Hub, find one that you like and get the app and begin to read the Bible every day. I'm not suggesting that you try to read the entire Bible. Some people say go through the Bible every year. Maybe you can't start there. And that for you, that will be overwhelming. Start where you are. Just open the book. Go find it if you have one someplace in the house. Go find it and begin to read a passage a day, a scripture a day. And you will find yourself begin to go through this metamorphosis. Where the caterpillar becomes the butterfly. Because the word of God is quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the dividing of sunder of soul and spirit, of even joint and marrow, and as a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. So what happens when you speak the word? It starts cutting away the things that are not like God, not only from on the outside, but on the inside of your soul. It starts separating the things that are keeping us bound and in poverty or in sickness and disease and depression and that angry spirit that Americans are said to have, the most angry and depressed country. Let's lose that label, folks. Let's lose it because there is a way to peace. There is a way to joy. The Bible teaches us that the joy of the Lord is our strength. Yes, we can have joy that's unspeakable. You can have joy in the midst of chaos and confusion. You can have joy when it seems like your whole world is caving in. You can pull yourself up by your own bootstraps, as one author said, because greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. You really can do all things through Christ who strengthens you. You don't have to stay at the bottom just because life seemed to have knocked you down there. I'll tell you what you do. You get up off your bottom, and you put on your boxing gloves in the spirit and realize that you've got tools that you've never used. You've got to draw off the energy, the source, the power, the fire that God is, and because he's resident on the inside of every believer. You don't have to stay down just because you've been knocked down. Come on, get on up out of there. Yeah, one artist has a song. He says, we fall down, but we get up. Because, you know, this power that is resident within us won't let us stay down. We're going to stop being another angry American, and we're going to find the joy of the Lord and put a smile on our hearts and stop fighting internally with our own selves and start embracing the Christ that is within us.
The Out Loud Perspective awaits you in life, love, politics, a healthy lifestyle, your faith, personal development, and living an out loud life on AmericaOutloud.com. Glitcher News and Entertainment Network, where you can listen 24/7 on our free apps on both Android and Apple. Welcome to the new era in communications, America Out Loud Talk Radio.
How many times has someone asked you, how are you doing? And you stop for a moment to think, well, let's see, how am I doing? Most people say fine. My word is typically excellent. And I went through some storms and I felt myself losing my word, excellent. My mom used to say, all Faye always says, she's excellent. And I thought, let me get my word back. Excellent. Excel. I excel in every area of my life. I'm holding my position in the spirit that I excel in every area of my life. Just imagine if every American and those of you who are in other parts of the world begin to take that stance that I excel in every area of my life. What will begin to happen? You'll begin to focus on the good. You'll begin to shift from all the negative things that are the toxic media, the fake news, whatever label you put on it, you'll begin to shift from that place into a place where you can maintain an inner equilibrium of peace and joy and tranquility. It doesn't mean that life won't happen. Life happens all of the time around here. But in the midst of life happening, I remember the word. I remember what God said about it. Don't make me shout up in here. I remember what God said about it. And God said that he wants me to prosper and be in health, even as my soul prospers. So I have to tune back in to Holy Spirit, begin to align myself once again with the word of God. Yes, yes, and yes. Yeah, we fall down, but we get up. And align myself with the word of God and allow his word to speak to me, not out of some religious format of what I think he meant. No, really allow the Spirit of Truth, my prayer partner, the Holy Spirit, to speak to me God's loving revelation of his word. Because I know that when I tune in to him, that he will move whatever is in my way out of my way. He's awesome like that, y'all. He's awesome like that. That's my Arkansas, y'all. Yeah. In Matthew 6:33, the Bible says, seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all of these things shall be added. So what is my focus? My focus is him. So, well, is God on an ego trip? No. He knows that if your mind is on him, then your mind is not on anything else. That if you are in the presence of God, then you're not in the presence of evil. Hello, somebody. Amen, church. That if you're in the presence of God, Democrats and Republicans, if you're in the presence of God, White House and Outhouse, if you're in the presence of God, folks, I don't know where that came from, but you are not in the presence of evil. As a matter of fact, you you just don't have any fellowship with darkness. You rebuke it. You stay away from it. You are an advocate for righteousness, and you take a stand when nobody else will take a stand for righteousness' sake. You know, what I find is interesting in our nation, in the United States here, is that while some are fighting to support the president, others are fighting to impeach the president, and the two groups are hating each other. So who's right and who's wrong? They're both wrong, because you're pointing the finger at someone else instead of pointing the finger at yourself. Where I grew up down in the country, we had just common sense. And one of those pieces of sense was, if you are pointing your finger at someone else, how many fingers are pointing back at you? I don't have a right to judge, criticize, or hurt anybody. I have a right to protect my domain. I have a right, and I consider it a responsibility as an American to vote. Yes, indeed. I know the price that was paid for my skin color and my gender in order to get into that voting booth. And nobody's going to keep me out of there. No way. Or tell me how to vote. I choose that because I have a right and a responsibility to do it with the presence of God in mind. So I know this is not a popular message. It's not meant to be popular. It's just meant to obey God and to say what needs to be said. Someone has to be the voice to say, no, both of you are wrong. You're pointing the finger at your brother, at your sister. That's not my brother. That's not my. Yes, it is. We all came from the same source. That's your brother. That's your sister. And we have to find a place where we can stop being angry and we can stop being depressed. If you're angry, you will be depressed. Yeah? If you're depressed, you're going to get angry. Why? Because you will allow all kinds of negative thoughts to just run through your mind. They won't let you alone. They're like busy people on the street of New York City, feet walking on Manhattan, walking in Manhattan, all over the place. Those thoughts are running all over your head. You don't know which way to go anymore because your mind is so full of garbage, and it's time to empty out and to purify your soul. Yes, and you can do that. How do you do it, Dr. Faye? You do it through the Word of God. Allow yourself the opportunity, yes, and the pleasure of having peace of mind. Yes, yes, and yes, I wish above all things, I want you healthy. I want you prosperous. I want you to have a good mind, a good way of thinking. I want you to have peaceful thoughts and happy thoughts. Don't take a vacation from happy thoughts. Take a vacation permanently from negativity. It doesn't mean it won't come. It will come. But what do? You turn. That's called repentance. You turn back to the positive way of thinking. You start confessing the Word of God, speaking what the Word says about you. Yes, speak what the Word says about our country instead of an angry country. Oh, you folks are angry. Road rage everywhere. Hostile environment, even in the church. Come on, really? People getting in fights in the church. You know we need Jesus Christ. Yes, we need to understand that that is not God's way. That's people's way. That's Satan's way, but it's not God's way. It's not God's way for me to use this opportunity to spew out venom over the nation and over people. You've had enough of that all week. You come here because you need an aha moment. You need to be refreshed and reminded of who is on the inside of you if you are a believer. And if you're not a believer, our mission always and shall forever remain as long as we are in this earth is to help you to become a believer. We know that God wants you to have a peace that passes understanding. Yes, there are things that happen in our lives every day. Some of you have gotten some traumatic news this week. Maybe it was a doctor's report. Maybe you're going through a very bad divorce. Yeah? Well, Dr. Faye, aren't all divorces bad? Well, all divorces are not angry divorces. I know some people that are happily divorced forever after. Yes, because they reached an agreement that they could not reach an agreement, and they shook hands and they're friendly. Whatever is going on in your life, I am here to tell you that there is an answer. All hope is not lost. Maybe your funds, your financial opportunities are limited and your money is funny. You don't have enough financial resources to pay those you're in debt to. But I'm here to tell you that Jesus is still the way. You mean Jesus will pay my bills? Well, he will make a way out of no way. Honestly, he will. He will supply your needs according to his riches and glory by Christ Jesus. Paul wrote to the church of Philippians. He told them, my God will supply all of your needs according to his riches and glory by Christ Jesus. The word of God is very clear that God does not want you miserable. He doesn't. I know some of us grew up in religious circles where we thought that being broke was righteous. We thought that being miserable was godly, that you gotta, in order to be holy, you gotta, you know, look holy. You know, I broke that mold very, very early in life. I broke that mold that I just could not look like that. I just couldn't. And it was not in me. I was not being true to who was on the inside of me. And thank God that I found a place, and still finding, I'm still growing, a place in him that I can be true to who he made me to be. Allow people that freedom, if you will. Some of you are struggling with your children because you're trying to make them be what you want them to be. And you've never had a conversation with them to find out who they really are. Why did God send them to this earth in the first place? Why were they born? He told Jeremiah, he said, before you were formed in your mother's belly, I knew you. Before you came forth out of her womb, I ordained you to be a prophet unto the nations. Don't you think we need to find out what those kids are here for? What is their destiny? Train up a child in the way that he or she should go. And when they are aged and mature, they will stay on that path. Find out what they're here for, and then put those tools in their vision. Put those tools before them instead of fighting them because they don't bend with your wind. Instead of fighting them because they don't go with your flow. Let them find out what God has created them to be. They are going to be phenomenal. They are going to be giants, men and women of esteem. They're going to be influencers, movers and shakers of industry. They're going to be power makers. They're going to be shifts in the political arena, unlike anything we've ever seen before. They are the governors of tomorrow. They are the mayors that we long for, that we're praying for. They are the presidents and the senators and the Congress. They are those chief justice. Yeah. So find out what they're here for. So some of you can stop being angry and causing your blood pressure to go up. You know what you feel affects your health. And if you feel it long enough, you'll have to take something for it. So change what you're feeling. You will change what you're taking. You will shift things. And I know this sounds really fruity to some of you, but for some of you, it's just what the doctor ordered. It's just what you need to get you out of the dump. To get you out of that funk, whatever that place is that you're in, to pull you up out of that place so that you can begin to see clearly. Well, we need to get the fog out of the way so that you can see the path that you need to walk. Amen. So as we begin to deal with this emotions and the state of our emotions and this emotion report, we don't want to go back to being angry. We want the next report that is taken to say, wow, we found the happy people. We found the people that was gracious and kind and loving. Do you think that the nation can't survive if we start loving each other? Oh, how wrong are you? Do you think that there's going to be a major catastrophe because the nation is no longer hating each other? That all of a sudden our news is good? Yes, that the media, now some people might lose their jobs, but hello, they'll find new ones because there won't be any negative reporting. It will be life upon life upon life. Look what good things that are being done in the earth. I, for one, I'm grateful for a number of good talk shows that have come on the circuit over the past decades. And we've seen shows like Oprah and Dr. Phil and Dr. Oz. Those may not be your favorite people, and that's not here nor there. But what I wanted to bring that up because they pioneered some territory. They turned the vision away from negativity into what we can do to heal our lives, what we can do to change our world. They highlighted some things that the world wasn't really aware of. They brought things to the light that we didn't, terms we never heard of, you know? Authors and movers and shakers of industry and mom and pops that were in neighborhoods that were doing some amazing things that inspired us to be greater advocates, to be greater people, to do more, to serve more, to honor more. I remember when I first saw Oprah on it, oh, I got excited. I said, oh my gosh, somebody like me, you know, like me, was on the air. It didn't matter about the subject matter at that moment, but it was somebody like me that I could identify with. When we grace our children with the presence of answers, things begin to shift in our lives. Things begin to shift in their lives. How would you like it when your child can trust you with information and they can have conversations with you and you're not always going through their drawers trying to find drugs? You're not always looking under their bed trying to find girly magazines. You're finally coming to the reality that it wasn't about them being rebellion, but it was about them trying to find their place, and you were not helping at all. Well, somebody needed that tip today, and I gave you that for free, but it's okay to still give, okay? So as we begin to heal, the Bible says, you may not know this, but I'll tell you anyway, that love begins at home, yeah? And then it spreads abroad, yes? So as love begins to begin inside of us, each of us, where you are right now, whether you're in a marriage, whether you're not, whether you're single and wanting to be married, or whatever situation you find yourself, because everybody got an it going on. Whatever your it is, okay? Everybody has an it going on. So in wherever that it is, yes? If you find that place where you start working, doing the inner work on yourself. And I know that there are people that will say there are many paths to God and you'll find him. Well, okay. The words of God says to seek Jesus, to seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and everything else will come into alignment with that. As a matter of fact, in Matthew, the 6th chapter, Jesus told us three times he said this, take no thought for your life. Translation, don't worry. Don't sweat it. And he gave us an example of the lilies of the field and the sparrows and how God takes care of them, and how much more will he take care of you, O ye of little faith. And if you know how to give good things to your children, don't God know how to give good things to you who call on him? Yeah. He said if we would ask, yes, we would receive. Seek and we would find. Knock and the door would be open unto us. You know what? I just ask, A-S-K, ask, seek, and knock. Still ask, right? If we would do that persistently and consistently without wavering, be obsessed with seeking God, yes, we will find that nothing else in the world really matters. It really doesn't. Everything is going to be all right if you trust him. Proverbs 3:5-6 says, trust in the Lord with all of your heart. Lean not unto your own understanding. In all of our ways, acknowledge him. And what will he do? He'll direct our steps. He'll take us to where we need to go. And we don't have to worry about it. Stay up all night worrying about where am I going to go? Because if we delight ourselves in him, focus in on him, our feet will end up right where they need to be.
Think back to the last time you felt healthy and energized. The best times of our lives occur when we're at the peak of our health, sleeping better, full of energy and focus. We know that fades with age, and you might be feeling the effects of aging as low energy and poor sleep. But it doesn't have to be that way. There haven't been any nutrition systems designed to rejuvenate our bodies as we get older, until now. Healthy Cell Pro is the only multi-nutrient system that impacts the building block of your body, the cell. Created by anti-aging expert and Nobel Prize nominee, Dr. Vincent Giampapa, award-winning Healthy Cell Pro cuts through the complexity of nutrition supplements by simply giving you the purest ingredients, filling dietary gaps to nourish your cells and enhance your quality of life for optimal performance. Visit HealthyCell.com and use code OUTLOUD for an exclusive discount or call 844-869-9958.
The goal is to deliver a message of truth, inspiration, and hope to the world, to unite people from all backgrounds and beliefs in an effort to advance humanity. News blogs, informative podcasts, and entertaining videos. It's AmericaOutloud.com, where the conversation never ends. With 24/7 streaming on our free apps on both Android and Apple. Welcome to the new era in communications, America Out Loud Talk Radio.
When we learn to walk after His counsel and learn to listen to His voice, and maybe you're saying, well, I don't know how to hear God's voice. Start with reading His word. He'll speak to you directly from Scripture. He will read it back to you. Read it until it reads you. And we start with those things in mind. We start with those steps, taking those baby steps. Don't try to be this huge spiritual person overnight, this sage of the age or guru or whatever. You're just wanting to get closer to God. You're just wanting fellowship with Him. John the Baptist says, here He comes. Here He comes. And I'm not worthy to lace His shoes. I'm not worthy. Because I've got a decrease and He's going to increase. He's the Master. He's the Messiah. He's the Rabboni. He's the one that I've been preaching about. He's the one that I've been preparing you for. Because y'all wasn't ready. You weren't ready for Him. So I had to get y'all ready. I had to get you ready because the Master was coming. Jesus was coming. The Messiah was coming. And here He comes. Here He comes. Yes. And He's coming in the power of God. And when Jesus had been baptized of John, and he was led up of the Spirit of God into the wilderness, as I mentioned earlier, and after he was tempted, the Bible says that when he got back down into the village place, he went into the synagogue, as was his custom, and they passed him the book. So this was his custom. He had already been there in the book. He didn't wait until he was baptized to get in the book. At the age of 12, he told told Mary and Joseph. He said, did you not know when he was missing out of the tribe? And they didn't know that he was missing. He was a child that was lost, but he wasn't lost. And when they found him a couple of days later, he was in the temple reasoning with the elders. And they said, his mother said, Jesus, where have you been? We've looked all over for you. You were not among the kin people. We didn't know where you were. Where were you? And he said, didn't you know I would be about my Father's business? Jesus understood his mission. That's why he had passion. He understood why he was here. That's why I talked to you about your children. Make sure you know why they're here. They will have passion for that which they've been born to do. It comes with a package. Yes, yes, and yes. So as we follow him and we glean from his teachings, we'll find ourselves building a life on the inside of us, unlike anything that we ever learned in academia. Yeah. How many of you are doing what you went to college to do? Yeah. Or doing what you thought you were going to do in your life? Not many of us. Always saw myself doing something in journalism, even with that other college degree, the other degree that I had. I minored in journalism. Well, I took electives in journalism my senior year and absolutely loved it. I did a lot of writing, got straight A's in the stuff. And I thought, man, I'm going to use this one day for something. I don't know what. Well, here we are. Yeah. Find out what the child is here for. Find out what you're here for, because you can't give away what you don't possess. Some of you, 40 years old, 50 years old, you've given up on life and you think that you don't have a destiny and a purpose. So what Dr. Faye thought, we're talking about angry Americans. We are. We're talking about angry people. And people become angry and frustrated because they lose purpose. They lose vision. They lose focus. Because when you focus in on Jesus and you don't lose that focus, you will not get frustrated. You will not get angry. It may come. I can't, let me tell you, the temptation will be there. Somebody just as sure will push a button. Yep. And that trigger will be there. But what you'll do is that you'll remember that, wait a minute, anger rests in the bosom of a fool. No, the Bible says to be angry, but sin not. Yeah. Well, I'm not going to let anger be a part of my life. It doesn't mean that God's not angry at night. Be angry, but sin not. Let not the sun go down upon your wrath. It's like God has a night, a day thing with anger. What he is saying is do not let anger control your life. You will be tempted, but he will not allow us to be tempted above that which we are able. But he will, with the temptation, make a way out that we may be able to bear up under it. He'll make a way out. It does, regardless of what it is, and you trust him and you put that word in your mouth and in your heart and begin to speak it out, it'll transform your mind. The Bible says to be not conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of our minds, that we can prove what is that good and perfect and acceptable and perfect will of God. And I use that good, acceptable, and perfect as gap. He'll fill the gaps in your life with his word. And this is the process of transformation, where the caterpillar becomes the butterfly. You're no longer the same. So what? You're 40, 50, 60, 70, 80 years old. It doesn't mean that your life is over. As long as you still have breath in your body, honey, you've got opportunity to live purpose and destiny. Do you know that there are people, I read a report some years ago about a 94-year-old man learned how to use the internet and he became a multimillionaire in his 90s. Yeah, he did something phenomenal. He left a mark that can never be erased. He took time and used it for his advantage. I don't have to punch a clock for 8 to 5. I don't have to be anywhere. So I'm going to use this as a resource. I'm going to use my time to create something. So his mind was brilliant. And so he got in and he learned how to do something. Don't assume everybody who is 80 plus years old has memory lapse. That's not true. Because your mind can be the mind of Christ and it can remain strong throughout your years if you live to be 120 like I plan to. Yeah, you too. Yeah, strong and long, not strong and long and weak, but strong and long, keeping our strength, keeping our focus. Yes, yes, and yes. So when that time comes, it's not because you were weak. It's not because you were sick. It's not because of any of those things. It's just that you just told people, bye, I gotta go. Yeah, this gig's up. It's time for the rest of my life. Yes, that eternal life. This emotion report, we're shifting it even as you listen. You're shifting it. It's been shifted on the inside of you because you don't like feeling bad. You don't like feeling tired and weary in your body. Some of you are angry because you have to go to work. Oh, I know some people. I know some people, folks, who go to the same business. They work at this place. A number of people work at this place. It's a plant and they work at this place. And I can't identify with them in that respect because I've never worked inside of a facility like that. But they tell me about the lines that they have to work on and the things that they have to do. And that these people will not allow the union in. I thought, what do you mean they don't allow? Oh, God, help me to not be I am woman, hear me roar over this one. Because I don't like injustice of any kind against any people, regardless of who they are, even if they are at the border. I don't like injustice of any kind. I believe that we have to stand for righteousness no matter what. No matter what. These people complain about their jobs. They hate their job. They literally hate going. And can you imagine this? Every day, when they are released from that place, I say release, when they are released from that place because they wouldn't dare leave early unless it was a 911, because they better not, they'll get fired. Yeah, that kind of place, those kind of people still exist. So these people are drained, physically drained, emotionally drained, mentally drained. Are they angry after 6 or 7 days? Yes, and sometimes they work 7 days a week, having to report in at 4 and 5 o'clock a.m. Yes, and working 6 and 7 days a week, all in favor of the corporation and not in favor of the. So, well, Dr. Faye, they're getting paid. Yeah, well, you can call it pay. But they are angry. My point, they are angry. They are frustrated. They're tired. They're not living. They don't know. They don't know who they really are anymore. Now they're just operating as a robot. They go in, they punch in, they work, they take a 15-minute break, I guess. Then they get their lunch, I guess. Yeah, they get lunch, I'm told. Then they go back to work. Then they go home. Then they rinse and repeat the next day. By the time they get in, they don't feel like doing anything with their children. They don't feel like doing anything with their wife or husband because they are physically exhausted. People are angry. You drive and you watch people that are angry because the light stayed red too long. Yes. Instead of being grateful that the light turned red and saved them from an accident, they were in such a hurry to get there. Wherever there is, such a hurry to get there. How many people have lost their lives because they were in such a hurry to get there? How many people get angry at police officers because they're pulled over for speeding? I remember one time being pulled over. I was pulled over more than once, but I've been good. But I was pulled over and the officers, I said, I know I was speeding. I know I was. There was no point in my being angry at the man for doing his job. Thank God for favor, though. Thank God for favor. Because we want to abide by the laws. Those speed limits are there for a reason. They know what it takes to keep that highway safe. They've done tests. They know. And they know how many accidents have been on that road. People are angry. Are you one of those angry Americans? Are you that angry husband who's taking it out on your wife and your children? Are you that angry wife who's taking it out on your husband and your family? Are you that angry business owner? You're taking it out on everybody else because you feel that nobody else is carrying their weight and that you're having to bear it all by your little old self. Are you angry? I want you to take a pause for the next 30 seconds or so as I talk to you about releasing the anger, shifting your emotions. I want you to take a moment and take a deep breath. Doesn't that feel good? Some of you didn't even know you had a breath. You know you were breathing, but you don't take time to take that breath, to realize that that's the breath that says you are here. You are present. And you can be grateful for that breath, saying thank you, Lord, for that breath. Think about all of the good things that are going on in your life right now. Think about those beautiful children you have. Stop focusing on what he or she did yesterday, last night, came in late. Forget about that they came in. Focus on that and be grateful. Attitude of gratitude. That was a quick one, wasn't it? Sometimes you have to. Having the attitude of gratitude and being thankful that you're here today to fulfill your purpose and your destiny, that God has graced you one more time to do something great inside of that body you have. Maybe you've been focusing so much on your weight until you've lost the vision of who you are. I've done that. Then I recovered and realized I can change the weight. I'm going to focus on what's important and I'm going to do better in other areas of my life. I know how I got there. Just rewind, right? Focus on the house that you live in or the apartment or wherever you are. Focus on the fact that you have this great roof over your head. I know we take so much for granted, but let's focus on that for one moment, please. Focus on the fact that you have a job. I like to say it's Jesus on board, that you're there for a purpose. It's not just a job, a paycheck. God can do things for you without the paycheck, but he's assigned you to that position because there are people there that you can touch, lives that you can influence for the good, and who can also reciprocate, influence you, show you some favor. Focus on the fact that maybe you don't have a car right now, but you're on the bus route. Yeah, you can catch the bus. You can go or you can get a taxi. Thank God in the area where I live, you better have your own transportation. There are no taxis or buses here. I think recently we got one of those pick me up services, you know, those services. But focus in on all of the good that you can think about, and then take a deep breath, relax, and realize there's no reason to be angry. There's no reason to house anger in your wonderful self, your wonderful soul self. You're making a decision to use your emotions, to be excited, to be joyful, to be full of peace, to love somebody. You're making a decision to be kinder, gentler. You're going to redirect those emotions that you have, those fiery emotions of getting somebody told, to showing kindness to a neighbor. Adopt a grandma at the retirement home or a grandpa. Do you know how many people there that don't have anybody to visit them? Yeah. Adopt somebody. Love on somebody. You know, love isn't real love until you give it away uncompromisingly. Give it to someone who cannot give you anything in return. Love on somebody who may not even know your name. The next time you're at the market, let the person behind you get in front of you. Yeah. Give up the best parking place for the person that's coming in behind you. Push your shopping cart into the corral. Do something to express the Christ in you to someone else. Don't you just love giving? I love giving. I also love receiving. That's the way life works, and it's okay. I used to feel guilty about that, but I don't anymore. It's been great being with you. I look forward to the next time you and I can be together. Father, in the name of Jesus, I thank you for your people. I thank you for this word. Let it go around the world. Minister to the masses of people that it's intended to minister to. And it's in Jesus' name we pray. I'm Dr. Faye, and I'll see you next time.